Now, I'm hoping this isn't a surprise to anyone, but Australia's population is continuing to increase. And, of course, every state is growing in population. And apparently at the end of last year, immigration was accounting for about 200,000 people. Now, this week you would have seen Dick Smith launch an ad campaign against immigration. It is a rather remarkable revival of the Grim Reaper ad from the 1980s about AIDS. It has famine, disaster, war and collapse all taking over if our population continues to grow. According to Dick Smith, it's a plea for the government to cut immigration significantly with the aim of stabilising our population at under 30 million. It, of course, raises the raises a lot of questions about Dick Smith, doesn't it? But one question it did raise was what population is sustainable for Australia? Now, Nick Parr is an associate professor at Macquarie University, where he lectures, amongst other things, on population and workplace planning. A very good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, let's get going. What is a sustainable population? What does a sustainable population for Australia look like?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, because sustainability has many dimensions, including economic and environmental considerations. And sustainable, in theory, relates to over time, just over time without an open-ended pattern. And it's very difficult to tell what the situation will be in the distant future. As you say, our population is growing. It's growing at a relatively high rate by world standards, above the world average rate. And the recent pattern has been of faster than average growth in our three major cities. I think it's the latter part of the equation, the rapid growth of city populations, which is perhaps the more challenging aspect of the growth that's occurring.
Is that because cities aren't built to be able to sustain such rapid growth?
Well, the congestion on the roads, for example, is clearly going to be a more significant issue in relation to the major cities. So to house prices, the development of the infrastructure. We're looking at future populations that have been projected for Melbourne of 8 million was projected by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. For Sydney, slightly less. And that was before those calculations were prepared before the recent upswing in the growth rates of our major cities.
Now, Dick Smith's targeting immigration. How much does that actually affect population growth?
Oh, it's a very significant component of population growth.
Okay.
Australia's population is growing because immigration is the larger of the two components of population change. But there is also a contribution from so-called natural increase. That is, in any one year, there are more births than deaths. But I think it's fair to say that immigration is the major reason for the growth of the population. And it's the component of population change which is more amenable to intervention in terms of public policy.
30 million seems like a fairly arbitrary number to set the population at, though.
Well, Dick Smith is using a net migration of 70,000 as the level he's advocating now. Of course, the future growth of the population will also depend on trends in birth rates and death rates. One calculation you can do is to calculate, suppose we continued at roughly our current fertility level and our current life expectancy, and then for a particular level of migration, what population eventually would result. And the 30 million that is being quoted by Dick Smith is roughly in the right ballpark, corresponding to the continuation of 70,000 net migration and the current fertility and mortality patterns. But the interesting part of that, I think, is that even though Dick Smith is producing adverts criticising population growth, pointing to the downsides of population growth, the population trajectory that he is advocating, the level of migration that he is advocating, is still consistent with quite a significant increase in population size for Australia. We're currently about 24.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
His low migration prescription would take us to 30 million in the very long run, assuming no further increase in life expectancy, which is perhaps quite a conservative assumption. And that's still a roughly 25% increase in the population. So he's advocating, in effect, a quite big Australian population, if you consider the 36 million that was discussed during the Rudd era as being big Australia.
Nick, most of our population seems to be densest around the east coast of Australia. I mean, could we be fixing some of the concerns we have about population density by expanding out where we encourage growth?
I think that's a very good point. I mean, by world standards, we have one of the lowest population densities of all the countries of the world, at just about 3 people per square kilometre. But we also do have a very concentrated pattern of distribution for the people that we have, with a very high concentration in a relatively small, larger of number of urban centres, most of which are along the east coast. Yes, I think when you consider future population sizes, if, say, for example, 40 million or 50 million could be more widely dispersed, that's a very different prospect to that same number of people. But with the recent trend continuing of greater concentration in a small number of larger cities.
Of course, that would imply that the government would have to really change infrastructure for regional areas to make it viable for population, I'm guessing.
Yes, there would need to be reasons for people to relocate to regional Australia, including relating to better infrastructure, better facilities, and perhaps changes to the direction of some parts of the migration policy would also help to achieve some redistribution. But having said that, various things have been tried over the years, and we still haven't really seen a major dispersal of our population away from the major concentrations of that we currently have, the major cities.